Join us as Pastor Ron Duty teaches about the rich man and Lazarus and the lessons we can learn from them.
Turn with me this morning, if you would, to Luke chapter 16, and we will begin reading at verse 19. Luke chapter 16, begin reading at verse 19. While you're turning there, I'm just kind of curious now that somebody this morning perked my interest in this. How many of you went out to try to buy some pinwheels last week? Didn't you? All right, come on. Some of you did. How many of you found them? All right. For $5, I'll tell you where you find it at. Myers and Gehanna have one left. I was there this past week, and actually it was yesterday. And look, they had four package of them, and I did not want to be greedy. Yeah, so I only took three up. And I left one there for someone to find. God is so good. Before we start reading, another comment is, I like that song that we just sung, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. Because there it says something, I shall never forget that day when Jesus washed my sins away. And that is a beautiful feeling to know that Jesus has washed our sins away, that we will not have to deal with those in the ages to come, because they have been washed away, they're gone. And the Bible says that he will remember them no more. Now, I think about that. I think about the experiences in life that as I look over the years of my life, and I think about the wonderful things that I've seen. One of the greatest thing that ever happened to me was whenever I came to know Christ as my Savior. The other thing that I find that it's real exciting is whenever you get an opportunity to sit down with someone and share Jesus with them and watch them slowly change and come over to know Christ as their Savior. That's an experience that just brings joy to your heart. There are other times whenever you get to deal with issues of life, like whenever you go to a funeral home, not a funeral home, but you go to a nursing home or you go to a hospital. And whenever you go in, you get to deal with individuals. Now, I know this might sound bad, but it's not. And you get to deal with people who have run their course in life and they have known the Lord all their lives or for a short time in their life, however long they've known the Lord. And now they have come to the end of their life and they're going home to be with the Lord. And then to see that take place and know that they have gone home and they just entered into the presence of the Lord, I mean, that creates excitement. I know that might not sound good, but it creates excitement to know that they are seeing things now that you and I can only dream of seeing. And last week I told you my sermon was going to be dealing with heaven, and for some reason or another I changed it, and Karen said I had the right to do that. This morning I would like to talk a little bit about this other place called hell. And if I give this sermon the title, I would call it Hell, Separated Souls. Hell, Separated Souls. Now, I know there's a lot of places in the scriptures that we can go and look and find information on what this place is all about. But here is a story about a rich man and a beggar who sat at his gates and begged for food. And they both ended up dying. And one went to one place, and the other went to the other place. And this morning we will talk about the rich man who went to his place. I remember I was sitting in one of our classes, and the professor that taught that class, he said this was a parable. And as I looked in the commentaries, I find out in the commentaries, a lot of your commentary says this is a parable. And I, for some reason, I don't believe this is a parable. I actually believe it's an actual story that Jesus told his disciple about individuals that were real. And that's the way I see it. Now, whether I'm right in that or not, I will have to wait until I get to heaven to find out. But I believe that whenever we look into these the stories that are being told in the 15th chapter and 16th chapter, dealing with the parables and other things that are expounded upon in these chapters, we find out that that Jesus talks a lot about grace. He talks about the prodigal son. Remember that story? How the prodigal son had gotten away. He got all of his inheritance. He left home. He spent everything. After he spent everything, he found out that he would have been better off at home if he was just a servant. And so he goes back home, and he finds out that there is grace there at home. And so we understand a lot about the grace of God. Man, I'll tell you what, that is a better subject to talk on than hell is. But after he had expounded upon all these different things and these different parables and stories that he told, he finally comes to this story. And I think he was pointing to the Pharisees and of his time, and not only the Pharisees of his time, but the Pharisees of our time, the down through time. And he's saying, listen, there is a thing called the grace of God, but there is a wrath of God that is to come, and you need to make sure that you avoid that. And so he comes with this story to emphasize to those around him that dealing with the grace of God, there's the wrath of God, especially the religious philosophers of his time. And he begins with this. He said, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. He probably had pinwheels. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thee. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophet, let them hear them. And he said, they, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they heard not Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And do you know that that was a true statement there? Because there was one that rose from the dead, and that was Jesus. And folks, people, even though Christ is raised from the dead, even though we know that Christ is raised from the dead, even though that he testifies that he, all these things, people still won't believe. They won't believe the prophet. They won't believe Moses. And they won't believe the one that was raised from the dead. They are determined to be separated from God. I remember one guy one day, or one, yeah, probably about, and I think I've shared this story with you, probably about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he and I was having a discussion, and I think we left work about 2:30, and we were having a discussion on hell, and he told me, he said, Ron, he said, I do not believe in that place called hell. I don't believe it exists. And I asked him, I said, why would you not believe in that place called hell? And he told me, he said, well, my wife said it doesn't exist. He listened to his wife. But he said that his wife was a Jehovah's Witness. And if you know the Jehovah's Witness philosophy is, and if you really get into studying some of that stuff that they teach, it's like it doesn't connect to the scriptures, and but they do not believe in hell. And it was about 2 o'clock that day, and he left work at about 2:30. But before he, as we were in this discussion about hell, I finally looked at him. I said, you know, the problem with what's going on in your life is that I said that one of these days, hell will become a reality to you. And whenever it becomes reality to you, you will be in it if you're not careful. And the next morning we came into work and I asked where so-and-so was. And they said, didn't you hear last night on his way home from work, he was hit by a car at this red light. Someone had run a red light, ran right into him and took his life there at that light. Not realizing that he was facing it just a couple moments. And we all know the outcome of that. I don't know what took place over the last moments in his life. But I know in that conversation, he did not believe. Folks, listen, you and I don't know when we exit this world. But listen, there's only two destinies that we have. It's either heaven or hell. And that's just it. There's no other place. I almost tell you a little funny about, we went out for pizza with my son last night, our youngest son. And I was sitting in the car waiting while he went in to get the pizza. And it took him forever to get that pizza. And finally, he came out. He said, hey, they gave me something free because it took so long. And I've been there. And I said, oh, that's good. And I looked at this car over next to me. And the on the side of that car, it says, be careful how you drive because there is no heaven. Be careful how you drive because there is no heaven, meaning that you want to spend as much time you can here because there's nothing over there. And then these two people, and God forgive me, all right, but these two people got out of that car and they walked into that pizza place and you had to see these individuals. And I said to myself, boy, if I had the opportunity to talk with them about that little sign they had on their car, I would talk to them about evolution and that they themselves would prove that evolution is not real. Because I am telling you, in evolution teaches only the strong and the fittest survive. And what I saw walking into that store had to be about the weakest. And there is no way in the world that they would have survived. So that sign, they need to take off their car and understand that it is grace that they are here and not there. I have this one guy I deal with all the time. He said, man, one of these days I'm going to go to hell. And he says, I'm going to just see all my friends. And we'll expound on that a little bit as we walk down through here. He said, I'll get to see all my friends down there. I told him one day, and I know you would too, but I told him one day, I said, listen, dude, I didn't call him a dude. I said, listen. You shouldn't talk about things that you don't know nothing about. You know, you really should investigate what it is you're talking about before you try to make comments on something you don't know nothing about. And then I tried to explain to her, listen, here's some logic that I have, all right? This is, and sometimes I'm not sure how good a logic this is. But I looked at him, I said, if you wanted to know something about electricity, who would you talk to? Would you talk to a welder? Or would you talk to an electrician? Or would you talk to a carpenter? Who would you talk to? And he said, well, I think if I was wanting to know something about electricity, this is a true story. He said, I think I would talk to an electrician. I thought, well, you're bright. And then I asked him, I said, now let me ask you another question. I said, if you wanted to talk about something that deals with eternity, life, hell, heaven, who is it that you're going to talk to? Would you talk to a carpenter? Jesus. No. I said, would you talk to a carpenter? Would you talk to an electrician? Or would you talk to a preacher? If you want to know that type of information. He wouldn't answer that question because he knew I would have him in a trap. But I said, you know, I wouldn't talk to a carpenter and I wouldn't talk to an electrician, but I would talk to somebody who knew a little bit about it, this heaven and hell thing, that had a little bit of understanding about what God's word has to say. And I said, hey, let me share with you something here. I said, I'm a preacher. You know, and I'd like to share with you a little bit. And he said, Ron, he said, let me tell you. He said, I'm going to tell you this. He said, you know how you're cold all the time? And true story. I said, yeah. He said, well, here's what I'm going to do. He said, now I get to heaven. No, he said, not heaven. He said, now I get to hell. He said, I'm going to just tell the devil, could he just turn the notches up just a little bit to warm me up? And he was making fun of something that he had no clue about what he was talking about. Amen? And there's a lot of people that do this. Now notice this guy, if you would. It says, there was a rich man. I think if you try to give this guy a name, I think they call him Dive. D-I-V-E. The name that they gave him. How many have ever heard that? Anybody? A few of you. You know why they give him that name? The name Dive is a Latin word, and it means rich man. So they really didn't give him a name at all. He doesn't have a name. And I think it was left that way because it's kind of like, I don't think they wanted to give him any glory. And not only did they not want to give him any glory, but you could actually put anyone in that situation. You know what I'm saying? Anybody could fit in here, the rich man. Anyone that is self-centered and only lives for themselves and not concerned about eternity, not concerned about God, not concerned about their neighbor, not concerned about anything that Jesus might have had to say, and Jesus had expounded upon all these things. And let me give you a little bit of insight here. If you back up on some of these parables where Jesus was talking to these Pharisees, the Pharisees actually believed that if you were poor, then you were cursed of God. But if you were rich, then you were blessed of God, and God had blessed you. You know, you had to have, you had to be prosperous, and if you were prosperous, then God was taking care of you. And they were all prosperous, and as a result of that, being as prosperous as they were, then they were looking at Jesus saying, you know, well, look at us. We're of Abraham's seed, and we have the riches, and we have everything. We have God. And Jesus saying, you know, rich people do go to hell. How many of you like, I bet you this story before, but ever watched the Christmas story called the Christmas Carol? Charles Dickens wrote that. Do you know why he wrote that? Anyone? The reason he wrote that story was you had a nation that believed that if you were rich, God blessed you. If you were poor, God cursed you. And if the rich tried to help the poor, then God would take their riches away. I mean, that's just a little bit of paraphrasing, but that was the understanding of it all. So you didn't want to help the poor. That, you know, you must have done something bad, so God cursed you. And so what he wanted to do, he wanted to write something that would inspire a nation to see the world through God's eyes. And he came up with this, the Christmas Carol, how you need to meet the needs of others. And don't be self-centered and understand there's a judgment coming someday. Amen? I love that story. Good message in that. But here it is, this guy was rich, he was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. It says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumb which fell from a rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. I don't know if you remember this, and some of you might, because you're of the older generation, but I remember back there, I was a boy, in the hills of, and I have to say it, West Virginia. There was an old wise tale. I don't know, maybe there's some truth to it, I don't know, but they say that you had a sore that was infected. If you allow a dog to lick it, that it would actually heal it. I mean, I've heard that. Yeah, a lot of us heard that. So there might be a little bit of truth to it. Maybe they might have gotten it from this story. I don't know. But he said, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from a rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And notice what happened the moment that he died. In verse 23. It says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He was in torment the moment he went over out of this life, he says. So with that being said, let me give you 3 points real quick. We see his state, the state of this individual that went out of this world without knowing God. Are you with me? His state was, the first thing we see is that he was in torment. He was miserable. He was in hell, Hades. He was separated from God, and he was separated from all the pleasures that God had to offer. His soul was separated, and then you get into this great gulf and stuff like that as you work out the year. But it says that he was in torment. And what does that actually mean here is that you cannot imagine the type of torment this person was in. It was the utmost misery. You ever been miserable in your life? So many of us have. You ever been depressed in your life? You ever dealt with depression, sadness, sorrow, all these different things? Man, I'm talking here, and everybody's looking gloom out there. I got to get you back here with a little bit of a smile here. I'm thinking somebody out there might have a rock in their pocket. Yeah, there is times in this life, and I hear people say this, listen, if there is a hell, I'm living it right now. I've heard that statement. Matter of fact, the one guy I was telling you about earlier, one that says if he gets to hell, he's going to have him turn it up a few notches. He said that. If there is a hell, I'm there already, buddy. This says, no matter how bad, no matter how miserable it might be in this life, this cannot be compared to that. Now, there's a scripture passage that you and I are very familiar with. And that says that the suffering which you and I as Christians endure in this life should never be compared with the things which shall be revealed in us in glory. Meaning that as we go through this life, there are things we're going to endure. And God says, don't worry about it. He said, because there's stuff coming that's going to far outweigh anything you'll have to endure in this life. And let me tell you, just the opposite works in the other direction. As bad as it can be in this life, it can be worse. And Jesus is just trying to say to those of his time, and not only his time, but our time too, that there are times in this life that you might be miserable. You might get a glimpse of hell. But let me tell you, without me, it is miserable, utmost misery. I had a guy come over from India to our church. And I love this guy, man. He came over. He was Indian from India. And his name was M.A. Thomas. And he came to our church, and he was going to give a speech on how to become a missionary over in India and what all that was taking place. He had on these clothes, Indian clothes, that you'd wear over in India. You get my picture? And as he walked down through the aisle of the church, he didn't have no shoes on. He was walking barefoot. And he gets up on the platform of the church, and he begins to expound upon what he wants to talk about. And somehow he implemented heaven and hell into his conversation that he was going to be talking about. And he said, you know, some people, they picture hell as this, and they picture heaven as that, and they try to understand it based upon the things that we know. Like, how many of you think you got a real soft couch? Down in West Virginia, up on this hill, Karen and I have this little place down there. And I'm telling you, in that living room, I have this couch. It's a little bit old now, but that thing is probably the softest thing you ever sat on. And the minute you sat down on it, if you got a little pillow in your hand, you're out. And if I was trying to describe heaven, I'd say it's something like that couch. Wouldn't be a very good job, would it? It just doesn't work. You can't describe heaven by those specific things. And that's what he was trying to say to us that day. But sometimes we try to describe heaven based upon how soft the chairs are going to be up there. And we might say clouds or something along those lines. And he says the same thing about hell. You try to describe hell, how hot is it? You can't describe it based upon what we know. So what he expounded upon was this. He said, miseries of life. How bad was the most miserable thing you've ever experienced? How depressed were you ever depressed? All these different experiences. How hurt were you hurt at the most time in your life where you were hurt the most? And he said, whenever you're dealing with the emotional, you're dealing with the spiritual realm. He said, we go into those areas. He said, we begin to understand a little bit. And he said, and if you try to describe hell, you have to describe hell with the absence of God. And when you describe it with the absence of God, then it is total misery. No God, no self-preservation. So here it is. The first thing we see about this guy is he was miserable. Verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and he seeth Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, let me just ask you this morning. I think most of you in this room are Christians, all right? And so what we're talking about this morning, even though it sounds terrible, for us, we're not heading in that direction. We're going in a different plane. We're going the higher road, amen? So here he was miserable. But as we look at his state, we see point number two, the misery that he was enduring is aggravated by knowledge. I hear people say, now I hear people say, whenever I get to heaven, will I know my loved one? Man, I tell you what, I would be totally disappointed if I got to heaven and I'm up there and I'm walking down the street and Joel walks by. And I look over at him, I said, nah, never seen him before. Don't know him. You know what I mean? Because I have people tell me that whenever you go out this world, you go over into the other world, that people that you knew here, you'll not know over there. And I'm thinking, nah, man, I'm gonna be able to sit down with Joel alongside of a creek bank over there if he'll sit there long enough with me, because he's going to be busy over in heaven too. And if he'll sit there long, me and him are going to have dialogues about this thing that we did down here, I think. I think that's true. And but here it is. If you'll notice, this guy, he's in torment. But it says in verse 23, it says, and he lifted, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So I think it is knowledge that he had here that even made his torment even worse. Because he's looking over and he's seeing Lazarus, the one that sat at his gate all the time, begging for food. And he's seeing that he is happy and that he is in a state of contentment. And he's there with Abraham. And Abraham, call it what do you want to call it, paradise, bosom, Abraham's bosom. But he's there and he sees this and he knows it. And I think things might went through his head many times of the stories of that he had heard, Jewish traditions and so on, how God's grace and mercy could have helped him and freed him from this. But here it is. This is where he's at, totally lost. I like one thing they said there. You know, I'm thinking, if I have problems in life and pain, Just let me just humor me for a minute, okay? And just let me throw this out at you, all right? You don't have to buy this. But I'm thinking for me, all right? It says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, we could spend a long time on this, but I wonder, in this life, that there's... Let me see how I'll rephrase it. In this life, I think there are certain things that hurts. Like, man, I've hurt my big toe. And Karen broke hers and limped around all that. And there'd been a lot of pain. I've had burn in veins in my leg, had to have surgery. They've been a lot painful. And Tim there, he's had the problem this past week or two that he's had to deal with, painful thing. But I don't know if I've ever had any issues with my tongue as far as painful. I very seldom ever come up, except if I'm at the table, I bite it. Yeah. So here's the thing I think is, and now this is for me, I just like to put a little spiritual stuff in this. So, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in his flame. Now, let's go back to some of the things I stated before we started. I remember, like I said, dealing with these individuals like Bob. His tongue says, mocking God. If I get to hell, I'm just going to tell the devil, turn it up a notch or two. You know? If I get to hell, I'm just going to enjoy all my buddies and my friends. You preachers, there's something wrong with all of you guys. You can't trust any of you. You can't trust God's word. His tongue is the thing that got this fixed on this. So the focus is on tongue. What do we confess? Romans 10:9-10 says, some of you quote that, says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. This guy never confessed it, but he had knowledge there in hell. And then in verse 25 there, the request that he makes to Abraham. And we'll bring this to a close. But, man, I mean, there's a lot in verse 24. For I am tormented in these flames, even though they're real. Or however, he's in torment. And then he said, but Abraham said, and I love this part on Abraham. Abraham looks at the guy and he says, son. Son. You know, can you imagine, son? I see your condition. I understand your position. But there's nothing I can do. Nothing I can do. His request to Abraham, remember, but Abraham said, he said, his request is in verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. He could have mercy in life, but he's beyond mercy now. Here is judgment. Have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment in this flame. And Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, and likewise Lazarus evil thing, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Abraham, here he cries out for what? Mercy. Mercy. And the unique thing of it is, and now here's the good thing, folks. Listen to me. Listen. This is the important part, all right? You and I are both breathing this morning, and we're alive. And if you want mercy, you want mercy from God, it's yours. All you have to do is ask for it. But if you put it off and put it off and put it off until one day you wake up over there, separated from God for all eternity, you will cry out for the very thing that you can have today in plenty. The thing that you make fun of today will be the thing that you will beg for over there. Amen? That's interesting. Principles in the Word of God, and we are bringing this to a close. Principles in the Word of God is that they always apply to life. You will reap the things that you sow in the end. We get what we deserve. Hey, can I throw one more thing out at you at this? And then we will stand and pray. Man, it's interesting that he said, give me some water. Help me with my condition over here. But I find that it's kind of interesting. He didn't say, hey, get me out of here. You know, he didn't ask to get out. It's almost like, I don't want that. I still want me to have all that I had before without having you in this. I ain't saying that's true, but he didn't ask for to get out. He just wanted water. He just wanted the same thing he wanted in life. Not that he wanted God. Amen. Stand with me at the club. Father, this morning we thank you for your grace. We thank you that you looked down upon us one day and you saw us as a prodigal son far away. You reached out and you touched our hearts. And we came home and we found grace and mercy. Thank you, Father, for that. You have provided it through your son, Jesus, on the cross. The power is there in your spirit to change our lives, to make a difference in our life. This morning, Father, I pray as we close this service with this invitation that if there's anyone in this room that has never asked Jesus to come into their heart to be their Savior, this would be the day they would just ask for mercy and they would find it at your cross, at your feet, at your table. This morning, Father, we just ask you to be glorified in everything we say and everything that we do. And then, Father, if we go out into the world, help us to always bear in mind you have done a wonderful work in each of our lives. As you have worked in our lives, you want to work in the lives of those around us. Help us to be with boldness, willing to share Jesus with them, to tell them. As one friend of mine said, there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And they do it through the mercy that comes through your cross. We thank you, Father, for your presence here. Be glorified in this song. We love you. In the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website at www.firstbaptist.life.